Testing, testing, testing. Okay, am I still out? When I turn the volume down, I seem to lose the audio. Testing, testing. Testing, testing. Testing, testing. Okay. All right. What we're going to do, okay, I'm not sure why it seems to be dropping out, but we're going to get back to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to continue looking at some things with regards to what is revealed through the gospel of Christ. And we've talked about the gospel of Christ being a revelation of the power of God. We've talked about the gospel of Christ being a revelation of the righteousness of God. Hey there, Uncle Curtis. We already started, so I'll just leave you sit there and you can listen in. You there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, alright. Brother Greg, Brother Bill, you guys still hearing me okay? Okay, good. All right, so we're looking at Romans chapter 1. And like I said, we're getting back to the gospel of Christ and it being a revelation of some things as it pertains to God, being a revelation of the power of God. There'd be no greater demonstration. Generally, when people think about God displaying his power, manifesting his power, they think of the Exodus, they think of the mighty hand, the outstretched arm, the miracles, the signs and the wonders. God leading Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea and so forth. That's the imagery that comes to mind when people think about the power of God. Well, the power of God today is revealed through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it takes on an entirely different imagery. I believe it's 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 4, okay. All right. I'll try to catch it. I got my All right. It doesn't seem like I'm able to lock in my sound. It changes on me automatically. I'm not sure what's the source of that. What's behind that? All right, I think I'm back. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
All right, okay. Now, so, okay, guys, how are we doing now? Okay, I think I got it right this time. I thought I had it before, but I think I got it this time. And so we shall proceed, and we're gonna go right to talking about the gospel of Christ and the revelation of the wrath of God. Now, that's where we are. I've been trying to review some of the things that we had talked about before, and because we hadn't been here for a little while, I wanted to try to get us back in the mindset of what we've been focused on here. But in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul talks about God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. And that is given by the fact that the gospel of Christ is the revelation of things pertaining to God, especially with regards to the revelation of God's wrath in the dispensation of grace. And again, not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, when you consider the fact that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And that's what Romans 1:18 is talking about, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, if you want to know God's attitude toward your sins and my sins and the sins of the world, it is demonstrated by the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Paul writes in Romans 11, for example, when he talks about behold the goodness of God and the severity of God. Talking to the Gentiles, he says, speaking with regards to the Gentiles, the goodness of God in that salvation has come unto the Gentile, the severity of God in that he has cast away the nation of Israel. He set them aside. 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul writes, he says, trying to remember the verse. Now God was in Christ, to wit or to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. But the point here is that God has God is not imputing men's trespasses unto them. And when you think about the wrath of God, God's wrath, you know, we talk about, you know, there's always this question about whether or not the church, the body of Christ, is going to go through the tribulation, that the body of Christ is going to be subject to the day of the Lord, that the body of Christ is going to be subject to the wrath of God during that Daniel 70th week. And I've been teaching on some thing, various things, and had opportunity to reflect on this subject about being delivered from the wrath to come. And Paul says we've been delivered from the wrath to come, and I think about that, and it makes better sense, and it's a strong argument against even the thought of going through Daniel's 70th week, even the thought of going through the 70th week of Daniel, in that we were delivered from the wrath to come, in that that was the next development on the prophetic program. In other words, if you remember, John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water, but there come one after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John gives a very simple outline of the prophetic program, beginning with his ministry. You remember Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Well, begin with John's ministry. It brings you to the days where the last days of prophecy, God is fulfilling his promises made to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The time is fulfilled, is the phrase in, I believe, in Mark 1, 14 or 15 there. And the kingdom of God is preached. No, he just, Brother Greg, I was saying that I think you're going to make a believer out of me about the demons in the electronic sphere. Hi, my dear. Hi, Mama. We've still been having some problems with the sound, so we'll talk as long as we can until it goes out on us. And then, Mama's in with my dear. I believe. I think she got her on. I got Curtis on. He's on the phone line listening in also. All right. I'm going to get back to the study here. All right. So everybody's still hearing me okay, right? Okay. Now, okay. So God is not imputing men's trespasses unto them. And so the point that we've been driving at here tonight basically is this, is that the greatest revelation of the wrath of God is what took place upon the cross. In Matthew 16 and verse 21, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto us his disciples. Rather, to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Okay. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. And there we read, and he went a little further. This is Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, coming up to the time of his crucifixion. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now he says, let this cup pass from me. Then in verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. So here's this cup, and in this cup Christ sees what he's going to experience on the cross, what he's going to endure, what he's going to bear on the cross. And this cup has been delivered him to drink, as it were. And the question is, what's in the cup? And what's in the cup, of course, is suffering. Psalms 11, verse 6. Psalms 11, verse 6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the dropping out on me here. Okay, This shall be the portion of their cup. So, all right, what's in the cup? So Psalms 11:6 speaks about raining snares, fire and brimstone. Psalm 75 in verse 8. Psalms. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. And the wine is red. It is full of mixture. And he poureth out of the same. And drink them. Isaiah 51 verse 17. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. That's not. Okay, it would help me to get into the book of Isaiah. I was still reading the book of Psalms. But Isaiah 51:17, Brother Greg, have it posted there. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Get Jeremiah 25:15. Jeremiah 25 in verse 15. For thus saith take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. I'm just speaking to the question of what's in the cup. This cup was dreaded by the Lord Jesus Christ there in the garden. And he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What's in the cup? It's a cup of suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 5 talks about the sufferings of Christ. Philippians 3:10 talks about the fellowship. Colossians 1:24. He talks about the afflictions of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, we talk about for the sufferings of Christ. What's in the cup is a cup of suffering. In the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 7, talks about the suffering the vengeance. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That was what was in the cup. The cup is a cup of suffering. And it was what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to endure there on the cross for the world. Okay? He was going to suffer the wrath of Almighty God. So when I talk about the cross being a revelation of the wrath of God against our sins and the sins of the world. The only place you're going to see the wrath of God manifested today is through the preaching of the cross. God is not going to display his wrath in the earth today. We live in the dispensation of grace. And as Paul writes in Romans 5:20, he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more. Where sin abounded, grace did much more. And so the revelation of God's wrath, the display of his attitude about sin, is through the preaching of the cross. We preach Christ and him crucified. Paul says it this way in Romans 8 when he says, God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You see, that's where the wrath of God against sin is manifested today. You don't have to preach hellfire. You don't have to preach hellfire and brimstone today. Just preach the cross. And if God spared not his own son, take heed lest he spare not thee. So remember, let us not look for or interpret any overt negative consequences in our life as the judgment of God. As the judgment of God against sin. To do so will undermine the gospel of Christ and its ability to affect change in our life, because people are going to be looking for this external manifestation of God's wrath in the circle. They're going to be looking for this manifestation of God's wrath in the circumstances of their life, and will not rely upon the gospel of Christ to impact their life. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So the gospel of Christ is this manifestation of the wrath of God today. And therefore, again, we should not be looking for or interpreting any negative consequence in our life as the judgment of God against our sins. God has judged our sins at Calvary. Behold Calvary. Behold the goodness of God. Christ died for our sins in the severity of God. Christ died for our sins. Now I'm going to stop there. I kind of said what I wanted to say on this point, not the way I wanted to say it basically, but to try to get to the meat, get to the gist of it without too much extemporaneous information factoring in. I trust this back and forth with the sound still allowed the point to come across. And I trust you'll take these things to heart, especially with understanding how we undermine the gospel of Christ to affect change in our life. It's when we're expecting God to do something externally to make us aware of our wrongdoing or to judge us for our wrongdoing. And when those things don't come, you weaken the gospel and its power to, again, to affect your life for the glory of God. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for posting that for me, Brother Greg. I see I still got some work to do to try to figure out exactly what's going on here still. The sound doesn't want to lock in, or something is keeping or is trying to change the drivers back and forth, I guess. I don't. I can see when it happens, like on my it seemed like when it tries to start the cam, it knocks the sound out, and I don't have video on my desktop here, but it seemed like it's trying to activate the video, and when it seems to try to activate the video, it knocks out the sound. I see the video screen flicker when my sound drops. But in any case, if you this is your time, I'll release the mic, and again, hi, my dear. Hi, Mama. Curtis says hi to Mama. All right. All right, if no questions or further comments, till next week. And we'll try this again. We'll take a shot, stab at it. I thought I had it figured out, but again, it must not be. Okay, my dear. Okay, thank you. Mama didn't make it on tonight, Curtis. She was Yeah, she's still at scent. She must have been fell asleep and. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you too. All right. Good night, all. We're going to call it a night. I'll be closing down the room at this time.